I'm curious, as someone that, you know, used to have a seat at the World Economic Forum, uniquely qualified to talk with some authority about what the world is going through right now, what was your message to players 10 days ago?
Well, I had, first of all, hi, gentlemen, and hello to all your listeners. It's good to be on the show. I really was ahead of the curve because in Switzerland, my son playing in a team in Bern, Switzerland, the capital city, had already played in front of empty stadiums. So when I spoke to our players about a week before we actually shut down, I did warn them that I sadly thought this was coming and that we were just trailing what was going on in Europe, and it has worked out that way. But we did speak quite seriously about what was going on here in Europe and what my kids were already having to avoid and take care of. And, you know, everything just happened a couple of weeks later in the U.S.
Berkey?
I think these interviews go so well, Ralph. You're so well-spoken. I don't want to get lost without talking about the NHL coaching initiative. So why don't you take us through that? I don't want that to be something we try to jam in at the end.
Yeah, I think it's really important. The NHLCA has developed, as you well know, Brian, in a real positive sense over the last decade. And, you know, we've been speaking lately more and more about a mentorship program and about all of us head coaches and eventually the excellent associate and assistant coaches in the National Hockey League getting out more and being accessible for coaches in developmental phases all over the world to continue to grow this game. It's improved as much as any game on this planet in the last decade as far as speed and athleticism and, on the tactical side, on the training side, there's so much to add. And I look forward to doing a webinar here on Wednesday, which will be, which already has a maximum capacity of 400 people on the webinar, and it'll be in 9 countries around the world. And I get the opportunity to try to add some value to these coaches' lives and to give them some tools that can make them, you know, better coaches for the kids, for the adults, for whoever, the women and men that they're coaching, and just continue to improve our game. So I'm glad you're asking, Brian, because I'm proud to be able to be a part of it as an NHL coach.
Ralph, you were the former chairman of the Southampton Football Club in the Premier League there. Are there more similarities or differences when it comes to the business side of hockey and soccer, or football, as they like to call it?
Well, that was my first thing when I walked in there in 2014 as the chairman, was I told everybody that my biggest surprise is that there are almost no surprises and that the culture of the Premier League and the way it operates is so similar to the National Hockey League and what I was experiencing there. And it's, you know, you could feel maybe because it's more the English culture and the way the game of soccer/football is played, but it's there are so many parallels, and I was able to learn a lot being, you know, in that role, something, you know, that Brian has been in more than anything in the last few decades. And it's exciting to bring it back into the sport that I love and I grew up in. So it was a good educational phase, but it was time to get back to hockey, and I'm so happy to be back.
And I do believe you go through educational phases in your life. Like working for Gary Bettman at the NHL was 5 years in an educational phase. I learned so much. But what impressed me, Ralph, and I've known you for a long time, I'm impressed that another sport asked you to come over. Like, I've never been approached. I've gone to training camp with NFL teams. I've gone in and studied their business operation, done the same with the NBA, same with baseball. No one's ever said to me, hey, you ever think about coming over and working for us? But you, these skills are transferable. The industries are very similar. But they're seldom asked.
Brian,
we're seldom asked.
Tomorrow.
One's asked me.
You could do it tomorrow.
But my point is,
Brian, I tell you. Yeah, go ahead.
No, the fact is you got asked and got to do it, which I think is pretty cool. Your kids got to move. They lived overseas anyway. It's pretty cool. Anyway, I've always been impressed by that. Not that I don't think it's that different. I think all sports, you have inventory, you got people, it's the same thing. But that you were asked, that someone respected you enough to reach across the ocean and say, come do this. And no one ever asked me that. No good, dirty, rotten.
Well, I tell you, you know, the one advantage, Brian, is that I never pretended to understand the game at the front. So I think the coaches enjoyed the fact that I was the chairman because I left them alone. But it is amazing how many similarities they are. And I think it would be good for sports in North America if they did actually reach across to others and bring in completely different, you know, just experiences and knowledge bases. And yeah, no, I was happy to be asked. And it was a lady that owned the team at the time, and she was really an out-of-the-box kind of thinker, and it just circumstances came together, but I was pleased for the experience for sure.
Ralph Kruger is the head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. He joins us now, and as the NHL is on pause and we're all trying to find other things to do, I tend to, during hockey season, gravitate towards books that were either written by or written about coaches. Just recently finished Fred Shiro's autobiography from years ago and picked up Anatoly Tarasov's Road to Olympus, which I think is must read for any coach in the game right now. Ralph, when you pick up books about coaching, what are they? Which titles do you gravitate towards and which authors?
Well, it's interesting because I really think it's important that we never stop educating ourselves, and I wander all over the place. I'm actually reading a book on Stoicism right now, which is, a philosophy from a couple of thousand years ago.
Yep, yeah.
It's pretty dry, but I don't think I'm going to hang in there too terribly long. But it depends on, you know, where I'm at in the season. I have to tell you honestly, when you have some time to relax during an NHL season with the intensity, it's more entertainment that you look for. And in times like this, it's more depth that you look for. But I do wander through all the different genres of books out there. And it's important that you just find different angles and different ways to be a better person, better leader, better coach.
You don't have to send me that one when you're done with it, Ralph.
You don't want to learn about Hellenistic philosophy, Brian? I find that hard to believe. Were there any coaching books, though, Ralph, that you read, even before you got into the industry? Anything influenced you that way?
I did. I like to go to other sports. I mean, I remember reading all the books out there by Pat Riley, Don Shula, Landry. Going into other sports, I found quite interesting. And all of those coaches that have put pen to paper are worth looking at for anybody looking at leadership experience.
Berkey?
Yeah, I find my rule about sports books is I try to read as many as I can. I try every fourth book I read, I try to read a sports book. Otherwise, I read biographies about famous business people or politicians or military heroes. But my rule is I won't buy a book that's written by a coach or a GM that doesn't have a ring. Like, I don't want to learn to be good at this. I want to learn to be great at this. If the guy hasn't been great at it, then don't write a bloody book. But I do enjoy I read Freddie Shiro's book, years ago, and I really enjoyed it. And I only knew Freddie a little bit from being in training camp with the Flyers that one time. And I spoke to him briefly. But, I thought his book was interesting. I thought it was progressive, going over to study what the Russians did and talking about new tactics. I loved it. And I like innovators. I like people who, I tell people, you go to the Louvre and people stand in front of the Mona Lisa and stare at it head on, and then they shuffle you out of the line and you move over. I like the people who stand over to the side and look at it. So there's a different way to look at this, like Moneyball. I think Moneyball is a failed strategy, but I love the fact that someone stood over to the side and said, well, we've got to try this. And that's how you strike me as a guy that's always willing to stand at the side.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting talking about winners. Scotty Bowman, who spends a lot of time in Buffalo, actually handed me a copy of his latest book, and it's on my bedside in Buffalo. So I'm partially way through it. And it's really just a book filled with anecdotes and out of the many cups that he won in the winning season. So that's definitely a good one to grab, Brian. But, Brian and I had rooms beside each other, world tournaments. We passed each other at multiple Olympic games when you were with Team USA, and always interesting conversations. And, you know, it's good to hear you on the phone.
Well, listen, I want to ask you about Jack Eichel. And Elliot Friedman and I had a chance to sit down with him in Chicago at the NHL car wash at the beginning of the season. And he went on and on about this, what was just supposed to be a cup of coffee, a casual conversation between you two that turned into a bigger conversation and a restaurant and an entree and desserts what was your perspective from that conversation with Jack Eichel? Because Ralph, he came away from it just raving about his new head coach.
Yeah, it was just so natural, guys. It was, I love that kid, and he is a superstar, and his finished product is going to be unbelievable. He's still a ways away from that, which is exciting, and he is as good an athlete as I've ever seen as a coach. He works equally hard. He matches his talent with his work ethic, and he just cares so much about his teammates, and he wants to win, and we will find a way in Buffalo with that type of leadership. But what happened that day, it was in Slovakia at the World Tournament, and it was he was between games, and I didn't expect that he would have much time, but it was just, there was nothing forced about the conversation. And when you get into a leadership role with a player with that type of ambition, and you're able to, you know, find a lot of common ground on not only the way we see life personally, but also interests that we had outside of the game, it's been a real natural season. It's not one of those where we needed endless meetings. We could, with eye contact and or very short communication, get to the point and try and fix our challenges that we had and or build on the things that were good. And it's exciting. We're both excited about working together and continuing to build on the foundation that we feel is a strong one in Buffalo.
Yeah, I just missed out on Austin Matthews, Jack Eichel, a couple of the top U.S. guys. I got out of the program. They kind of got rid of us after the World Cup when we didn't win a game. You started that, you bastard. You beat us in the first game.
Sorry about that, Brian.
Yeah, and we never recovered from that. We didn't. We went 0-3, and no U.S. team has ever gone into a tournament and gone 0-4. So I think we're all like pariahs. But I missed out on Jack Eichel, but I'm just so impressed watching. And I said hi to you after this game. I saw you in the hallway there. Just watching how hard he works, how good he is, and how he tries desperately to keep his team in every game. It's just really impressive.
Yeah. It's hard not to, you know, Brian, we try to keep the minutes of the top players, let's say a forward. You'd like to stop and cap it at 20 minutes, but it's impossible with him. I mean, he averaged 23 minutes this season and deserved every one of them and never tired in the process. It was, when you're looking down your bench, you know, almost all of our games were tied or one goal games going into the third period, right through the 69 games. We only had a few that drifted away in either way. And you know what it's like in the last 10 minutes.
You got to play him.
Not to put him out every second shift, and you just got to play him. And he dealt with that really well. And he will only get better, which is something the NHL needs to be excited about.
And he's got the traditional wrist shot. He's turned that into an unbelievable weapon for him.
Yeah. No, he's starting to shoot, which was something really we noticed early on. He was just opting out to passing too often, especially on the power play, trying to always be the quarterback. And he's bought into the mathematics of balancing his game a little bit more and what a shot he has. And it's truly, truly exciting. And, you know, with the other young guys in our group, we're looking forward to build on that for sure.
You know, I'm glad you guys are talking about this like this, because there was one game this year, and this was really, and I know a lot of us at Sportsnet said, wow, what a great move by Ralph here. What a smart move. It was a game against the Columbus Blue Jackets. It was overtime. Eichel was out there, turned the puck over to, I want to say it was Nick Foligno, and Columbus won. And right after the game, you took full responsibility for it. You said, I rode him too hard down the third period, had to have him out there on the ice. I knew he was tired, but I had to keep throwing him over the boards. And you took the entire thing. And we're all thinking to ourselves, here's this guy diving on the grenade for his captain turning the puck over at a really bad time of the game, namely overtime, and it led to the game winner. Take us through that entire sequence from the overtime with Eichel turning the puck over to afterwards, you know, Ralph Kruger saying, you know what, put that one on me. Because that goes a long way with players, as you well know.
Well, all of you know it was just unnaturally, because what happened was played the first shift. We'd gone through a second shift and the third shift was coming up, and his first shift had gone on too long. And at the end of the third, he'd also been a big part of what was going on down the last few. And I actually, in my gut, thought this is one too many, need to take a break, but threw him over the board. So it was truly how I felt. But I also believe as coaches, I don't believe in separating myself from the group. I think we win and we lose together. And that's the way we're communicating within our dressing room. And that's the way we are working the program in Buffalo. And it's just something that I believe is important. But on that day, I truly felt that I'd screwed up on the line changes.
Listen, we understood what you're trying to do, and you're just that kind of coach, and you're just that kind of guy as well. And unfortunately, we're out of time. Ralph, thanks so much for spending some time with us today. Glad you had a chance to talk as well about the Coaches Association. Lindsay and everyone there are doing a fantastic job. Thanks so much for doing this, and look forward to seeing you behind the bench, hopefully sooner than later.
Thank you, gentlemen, and thank you to all your listeners for the passion that I know they have for the game. And when it comes back, we will all be that much more excited about what we're all able to do. And I wish everybody good health, and hopefully we get through this all together in the world in a timely manner. So thanks. And next time, let's talk. Hopefully we're playing hockey games.